Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, you and your wife, Karen, have written a number of books, at least 30. Do you have a favorite book?
Oh, it changes, Dean, as to where I happen to be. One that I reviewed recently was called Making Sunday Special, and I reviewed it because I thought that I had stopped practicing some of the principles that were in there. That's actually one that has Karen's name on it, but Karen and I both say we can't remember who said what or first thought of, you know, it's just kind of an amalgamation of thought. But in that is the old Sabbath practice of the Jewish world. When at its best, they would say Sabbath is the high point of the week. It takes 3 days to climb the mountain to the high point and then 3 days to go down before you start the process over again. But you establish in your mind what you see as really important in life. And for the conscientious Jew, Sabbath was the high point of the week. So it's 3 days looking forward to it, and then Sabbath, and then 3 days to just enjoy and relish what you experience, and then it starts over again. I found that as I first read that, and I'm rethinking these concepts quite a bit, that Sabbath wasn't the high point of the week for me, or I would say Sunday was not the high point of the week. And really, then you have to say, well, what is my high point? And for people, it can be a lot of things. In fact, I had a minister say to me, as I heard you talk about this, I realized that Sunday afternoon football was the high point of the week for me. And I would kind of think about what happened the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then I'd start to gear up the next day, and the radio programs did the same thing. They reflect back on and then kind of suck dry everything that took place. Then you start over again. He said, even though I was a pastor, I found myself really on Sunday thinking, I want to make sure everything gets done on time because I want to go home to be there for that opening kickoff, which was usually at noon in his hometown. And when he realized that really emotionally, that's where he was, he understood that he needed to make a change. And I think a lot of people are that way. Some people, you know, the high point of the week is if they get paid weekly, it's when I get paid. And then I can go shopping. Some people, they have certain days of the week. Maybe it's Saturday night when they can go to the theater, or it's possibly Friday night when they can go to the restaurants they want. And they kind of look forward to this all week. And they're thinking, I can't wait till Friday. We're going to see our friends. We're going to try a new restaurant. Am I making sense to you?
Yes. In fact, your story about the pastor brought to mind two pastors in my life. One of them was a baseball fanatic. He was into baseball more than I have the words to describe. Once in a while, there would be a Sunday game that started at noon, and he attended the games as much as he could. And we could always count on that service to wrap up.
Get out on time, huh?
Yeah, so that he could be out the door and on his way to the baseball park, which was just a few blocks away. At the time, I thought how strange it was. But at the same time, what you say makes sense. I knew another pastor that it was his practice to take Monday off after he had worked the previous week to prepare and then deliver his sermons on Sunday at several services. Monday was his day, and he structured his entire week around the sense of accomplishment and actually a little bit of a relaxing letdown, having put so much into Sunday. Now I can breathe a sigh of relief, and here I am at Monday. So it is interesting that you use that example, because obviously these people are thinking in quite different terms about what's their high point.
Well, yeah, it's where your heart is, where you are emotionally. And I would say that one of the problems with the church today is that for most church people, that time in the Lord's house is not the high point of the week for them. So I've said before I began to think about this and examine my own life, my world was kind of a flat line and then a little blip on Sunday and then the flat line. I'm not sure, really, as I look back, I'm not really sure. For some people, you know, being able to go to the bookstore, get the books that they want. Everybody has something that turns their crank. I said, I think I want to organize my life to the place where Sunday is very important to me, and I capture that what the Jewish world called the rhythm of the sacred. So it's kind of this building up to the mountaintop, enjoying it to the fullest, not letting anything infringe on that, and then reflecting back on it, and then starting the whole process over again. That was a big part of that book, Making Sunday Special.
As I recall, there's a second important Sabbath truth that Karen's book, Making Sunday Special, emphasized.
Well, for the Jewish world, which is going to sound different again, but for the Jewish world, Sabbath began at sundown on what we would call Friday, and Sabbath was Saturday. But Friday, you know the old Fiddle on the Roof musical. You see Tevye and his family scurrying because they know when the sun goes down, then something, I'm going to use the word magical, happens because Sabbath arrives. And in the film, or in the, I've seen the production, I saw just a couple of years ago up in Canada at the Stratford Festival, and I was waiting for that scene because they're scurrying around, they're making sure the table is set and everything, and then the moment the sun goes down, you get this song, "May the Lord bless and defend you, may he always shield you from shame," and so on. I'm not a singer, okay, but all of a sudden the music and the whole stage play changes because they have entered into sacred time, if you please. So on Saturday evening is when it goes, and that's the beginning of Sabbath. It continues through when the synagogue congregations come together, and then there's the quiet time until it's sundown again, and then it's back to the regular week. I found in my life, and we did this with our children as they were growing up, that it was good for us if we didn't start our Sunday high point of the week early on Sunday morning, because that was a chaotic time. And you always found that one of the kids couldn't find where his or her shoe was, you know. Where's my underwear? You know, all these. So that Sunday morning getting ready for church was a hassle. And sometimes the worst conversations when you got four kids and you're going to church took place Sunday morning in the car because you're running late and you just haven't gotten ready in time. We decided that we would try to make it a practice that when sun went down on Saturday night, we didn't watch when the sun went down, but at a certain point, we would try to begin to prepare ourselves for Sunday morning. And it took all of that madness that goes on, even in a pastor's family, it took it away. And by the end of going to bed on Saturday evening, we were ready. When we got up the next morning, everything went smoothly. I'm not saying it was perfect because we're human beings. And then we also tried to keep Sunday afternoon for company coming over and for just time to reflect on what we had heard on Sunday, and we would share with one another what the Lord said to us in church and such. But it gave a whole different pattern to our week. Was that easy to do? It was very difficult to do because, like when the kids are in high school, they have a lot of Saturday night activities. I remember our young people, Randall's our oldest, him saying, when friends would say, "Let's go out and do something on Saturday," he said, "Let's do it on Friday night." And they'd say, "Why Friday?" "I just like to keep Saturday kind of clear and ready for Sunday morning." Well, that was odd as could be, but you know, then that gets questions. You talk about, and it makes a lot of sense to people when the kids would even explain. So Saturday night, Sunday morning through Sunday afternoon, those were a special time in the week for us. I found that the reason I'm reevaluating all this is because when we began to speak in different places and you're traveling and all this disruption of your normal schedule takes place, you tend to say, "Hey, I have to go back and recapture some of those times." And like when I'm here with you in your home and I'm being preached in the church where you are, I can't keep the same rhythm, but it doesn't mean that when I go back to my own pattern, that I can't reestablish that very early. I like rules, but I don't like rigid rules. I like the flexibility of being able to say, "I'm learning a lot from this," but at the same time, I'm not trying to impose it, or I'm not trying to say, not only impose it on others, not just impose it on myself. I have a great flexibility in that sense, and I appreciate that. But I find in my mind that sometimes when you lead by example, even as a pastor, it's very hard. And especially when you're the one who's responsible for most everything on Sunday. But if you can't pull it off, your people can't pull it off. And what happens is that Sunday no longer becomes the high point of your week. Something else does. It just takes over. That's the way life is. So what I'm doing, I'm reexamining my life, and I'm playing with this to say I want to recapture some of what I had. It won't be that hard because I have a very good taste of what went on. And I'm trying to teach that to my grandchildren now in some ways.
What I hear you saying, David, is that pastors would do well to encourage their people to make Sabbath the high point of their week. Make Sunday special. Make it the day that's really the most important in the lives of believers. And when you think about it, Sunday is the time we gather to worship our great King, Jesus. And certainly that should be the high point of our week. To prepare, get ready on Saturday night, thinking toward the Lord's Day, that's a wonderful idea. This topic seems like it might evoke a sermon or two that could elicit a bit of nostalgia, but making Sunday special, it sounds like a little bit of a battle.
It's more than a little bit of a battle. Anything you do, in my mind, the biggest thing is working through in your head, what is the high point going to be? And it also is, it's kind of funny because sometimes you find the Lord's house is in the whole of the one day a week, which is one of the commandments, you know, you honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. You realize sometimes that you're more countercultural than you thought you were. It's very easy for other things to creep in and take over, and you weren't even aware that it was happening. So I say it, you know, we're talking about this, and I say it as something that I think is very helpful. I've found it beneficial in my life. I'm reestablishing that. I'm not a pastor anymore. Sometimes it's frustrating because I'm real frank, okay? I prepare myself thoroughly on Saturday night. I go with the greatest of attitudes, and then I feel like sometimes the people in the church didn't prepare nearly as much as I did. And I see them at the last minute struggling, and I say, Lord, give me love. Give me love in my heart. But then the next week I think, well, I'm going to do this, and you know what? They're not going to be ready again. So there are a lot of just realities. You know, what we're talking about is an ideal. The ideal is always good to keep in mind, I think.
Very good. I actually have a couple of more questions about this topic, David. So if it's okay with you, can we talk about this some more in our next podcast?
If you have the questions, I'm more than happy to respond in honesty, okay?
Very good. We're so glad you joined us for our time together. We invite you to come back and join us in the next podcast as we continue this discussion. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. As we always do, we invite you to browse through the rest of our website where we have resources there to help pastors create effective life-transforming sermons and life-transforming services. And as I already have, I invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.